If you have your Bibles, let's go to Mark chapter 12. I was thinking today about the song that the band does, that Abby sings, Only Little Lamb. And sometimes I think about, you know, I feel that way about Jesus. I know he looks over Skip, and I know he looks over y'all. But every once in a while, don't you just feel like he's got all his attention focused on you? Think about that. If you get a hold of that, you'll kick the cover off the bed tonight. That the great God in heaven that's taking care of business in Romania, that's taking care of business in China, when you get on your knees and call out on him, he stops and listens to you. That's him. I'm glad he's my shepherd. Amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Verse 28, let's read. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now listen. Then the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's the scribe saying that. Don't miss that. That's not that. If you got the right kind of Bible, that ain't in red. Verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, Lord. God, I pray, God, you'd help me, Lord, as I do my very best to expound on this passage of Scripture. God, I know I can't do it justice, Lord, but I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, have your hand on us right now. Touch each and every one. Lord, there's somebody in this building, God, that needs this tonight, God. And Lord, if we'll all be honest, we all need it. God, you lead and you guide right now, God. And whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I was studying on this and thinking about this today, I see this man as he is standing in the midst, and they're questioning Jesus. If you go back and look at it, they start talking about Jesus, about different things, about taxes and about resurrections and different things like that. And the Bible says, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment? I see this man, in my mind, I see this man sort of as an educator asking a student. This was a scribe. This was a lawyer. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. But I see him asking this question as he is thinking he is the one in authority here. They're trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to catch Jesus. The Bible says about this same passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying. So this man was is coming up to Jesus asking a question. This was not Bible study. They were trying to trick Jesus. And I got to think about, have you ever seen a student in class make the teacher look dumb? I've been in class before, you know, and it wasn't me. By no means it wasn't me making the teacher look dumb. Amen. Most of the time it was a girl. But every once in a while, Skip, I remember sitting in class every once in a while, there would be a question asked, and a student would say something that would make the teacher scratch their head. That's the picture I get right here. This guy's trying to catch Jesus. He's trying to trick Jesus. But he called him master, but he really didn't know who he was talking to. Now, let's look at number one. Let's look at the scribe. And one of the scribes came, verse 28. And I told you in Matthew's gospel, it talks about him being a lawyer. This was an expert in the Mosaic law. This was an expert on the Old Testament. This was an expert on all the old commandments. When he asked what's the greatest commandment, he already knew what the greatest commandment was. He had studied it all his life. If you go back and look at this and study it, they start from a very young age. They study the scriptures. They read the scriptures. And the Bible calls him a scribe. So this man was one of them that not only studied the scriptures, and not only was he an expert in the Old Testament, in all the Old Testament, he was a scribe. In other words, one of his jobs would be when they would take the scripture to preserve it, Brother Skip, they would sit down and they had to write it out word for word, dot, exclamation point, comma for comma. Every time they got to the word Lord, they had to stop and pray and wash their hands and go back and ask God to touch them. That's how particular, if they made one mistake, they had to throw everything away. So this guy knew the Old Testament. Have you ever done any studying? One of the best ways to learn something is to write it down. Imagine writing down the book of Psalms 15 or 20 times in your lifetime. You would know it just about word for word. So this man was not no dummy. This man was very smart. And I got to think, he should have known who Jesus was. The Old Testament predicted his coming. He should have known who Jesus, but this guy had the outward appearance of a Christian. We know they weren't Christians back in this time. But he had the outward appearance of a Christian. Should have known. Have you ever known anybody like that? They had the outward appearance. And they fool everybody. They walk the walk. They talk the talk. They carry a big King James Bible around. And everybody thinks they some big thing. But in reality, they're not. And I'm telling you, the church is full of people like that. The church is full of people. There's church leaders like what I'm talking about right here. It's amazing to me. I've said this before. It's amazing to me. I've gone to conferences, Brother Ed, and I've seen preachers get saved. How can you be a preacher and get saved? Because you never really accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. So you can have a heart knowledge, you can have a head knowledge, I would say, and not a heart knowledge of Jesus. This is one who should have known Jesus. He knew the Old Testament. He was the one that wrote it down. He should have known who Jesus was. So that's the scribe. But let's look at the subject, the question that he asked Jesus. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together. In other words, he is sitting back, Brother Johnny. Brother Barry is sitting back and he's listening to everybody talk. He's listening to all these. The Bible says that the Sadducees, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit right here. The Bible says that the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection, but they were going to question Jesus. They come in and they said, Jesus, they said, well, listen, how about if a man marries a wife, He said, the Old Testament says if a man marries a wife and he dies, that the man's brother is supposed to marry her to preserve seed from his brother that died. And said, so one man dies, his brother marries her, but they don't have any children. He dies, and the next one marries, and they die, and the next one marries. Said in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus just put them in their place. So this guy, the guy that I'm talking about, the scribe that we're preaching about tonight, sitting back and listening to all this. He said, I kind of see this. Brother Donald, he said, I got a question I'll ask him. I got one I'll present to him. So he asked Jesus the question of what's the greatest commandment? He already knew what the answer was. But he's asking Jesus, what's the most important commandment? How do you know he already knew? Because in verse 32 and 33, he told us that he already, he said, you've answered right. Now let me just stop right here. I want to say something. Notice that Jesus did not rebuke this man for asking a question. I've had people call me all the time and say, is it wrong to question God? No, it ain't wrong to question God. God expects you to question him. If Jesus questioned God, don't you think it's all right for you to question God? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Understand something. There's going to be times in our life that we question some things. It's a different thing to question God than to be mad at God. This guy, Jesus, did not rebuke this man for asking a question. Jesus ain't going to rebuke you for asking a question. But this man was trying to catch Jesus. He was trying to twist some things around. And I got to think about, I wonder how many times we do that. We ask questions, but we really don't want the answer. Or we ask questions and we think we already know what the answer is supposed to be, but we ask it, how many of us actually come down on an altar and pray prayers that we know God's not going to answer the way you're praying because it's not going to do you right, it's not going to do you good, but you're still praying it anyway. So how many times do we question? Now, I want you to look at how Jesus answered the statement Jesus gives him. And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is this, hear, O Israel. I've studied this. He starts off, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. He asked Jesus to open up, and Jesus opened up and says, hear, O Israel. This guy, he's asking Jesus a question, but Jesus is still talking to the multitude. He is talking to the crowd. He says, hear, O Israel. He basically said, I want everybody to hear this. It's going to be almost like this. Mike asked me a question. Hey, Liberty, listen up. You ever been in a classroom? And somebody asked her, you was thinking about it, but you didn't want to act stupid. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You had a question in your mind, but you didn't want nobody to know that you didn't know the answer. And you didn't ask the question. And finally, somebody had enough guts to ask the question. And you're sitting there thinking, whew, I'm glad somebody asked that question. Because I sure didn't know the answer to that. Hey, listen up. This is for everybody. Now let me just stop. I'm going to stop and preach on this just a minute. If we could all get what Jesus told this man, we wouldn't have no problems. Love the Lord thy God first. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength. And I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. And love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm telling you right now, there wouldn't be no squabbles in church. There wouldn't be no upset people in church. There wouldn't be no fighting in church. There wouldn't be no crawling in church. Everybody'd get along. Everybody'd be happy. We could all sing Kumbaya and just have a good time. But you know what the truth is? Everybody don't love the Lord like that. There's one Lord. That's what he said. There's one Lord. There ain't multiple ways to him. There's one Lord. There's one Son. His name is Jesus. There's one heaven. And I'm telling you right now, the only way to get to God is through Jesus. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one Lord in three parts. There's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said there's one Lord. But you got to love him with all your heart. Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says this: the heart then must be here mean the sincerity of both the thoughts and feelings. In other words, uprightness or true heartedness as opposed to hypocritical or divided affection. In other words, I can't love my wife as much as I love God. I can't love my children as much as I love God. I can't love my hobbies as much as I love God. God's got to be number one. I got to love him with all my heart, with all my, you got to understand something. When Jesus was breaking this thing down, he broke it down for a reason. With all your heart, then you got to love him with all your soul. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. This is designed to command our emotional nature. Thou shalt put feelings or warmth into thine affections. In other words, I've got to love him with all my heart, but I've got to love him with all my soul. That means when I come to God's house, I don't just sit there. I love him with all my emotions. Somebody said this down in Tampa the other day, and I've said it before. Somebody said, well, I'm not emotional. Oh, yeah, you are. Everybody in here is emotional about something. I'm just telling you, everybody in here is emotional about something. Just finding out what it is the kicker. Finding out what brings that tear to your eye. Finding out what makes you smile. Finding out what makes you happy. See, we can sit down and watch football games, and I can tell y'all, I can tell everybody here is emotional. Let one of them grandbabies hit a home run. Woo. I got a little emotional Sunday night, amen. When that grandbaby that we was praying for Sunday morning come to church Sunday night, and she was down on the altar thanking God for answering prayer, I got a little bit emotional, amen. That's what I'm talking about. What kicks in your emotions? Love him with all thy heart. Love him with all thy soul. Amen. He goes on to talk about you got to love him with all your mind. Now this is talking about our intellectual nature. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, our intelligence, our mind tells us about the truth. We got to have truth. Hey, I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of churches that's got the truth, but they ain't got no spirit. There's a lot of churches that's got spirit, but they ain't got no truth. So he's telling us, you got to love him with all your heart, with all your mind. Then he says, you got to love him with all your strength. That kind of gives a feeling of working for him. Amen. Going the extra mile. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says, whatsoever thy heart find, thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. In other words, if you're going to work for the Lord, work for the Lord. Amen. If you're going to be saved, be saved. Glory to God. I ain't never liked doing nothing halfway. If I wanted to play baseball, I'm going to practice baseball. I'm going to practice. On the highway patrol, I wanted to get better at shooting that gun. So I practice. Hey, whatever you love, that's what you do. Love him with all your strength. Now look at this. The solution is this. Verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. When you love God, you will love your neighbor. Amen. When you love God, you will love your neighbor. Some folks say, well, I love my neighbor, I just don't like him. Let me ask you a question. You ever had somebody hurt your feelings and you come together and you forgive them, but every time somebody says their name, those same feelings wear back up in you? You ain't really forgave them. Now, if you study this out, I believe it's in Luke. Luke chapter 10, the Bible, talking about the same situation, the same story. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered, rise, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, now listen, the scribe, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, who am I supposed to love? Who is my neighbor? Jesus goes on to tell him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Y'all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. Man gets beat up. He's in a ditch. And the priest walks by, looks in there on him. And the scribe or the Pharisee walks by and looks in there on him. And they don't do anything because, you know, they're too religious. They're too high and uppity. But he said a Samaritan came by, got in the ditch with him. They bound up his wounds, poured oil on his wounds, took him down to the hotel or to the place and gave him money to take care of him. He said, now who was his neighbor? They said, the one that helped him. He said, go and do likewise. Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. Your neighbor ain't the one that lives beside you. Your neighbor's the one that needs your help. And you stop and help. Willing, this blew my mind when I read this. Willing to justify himself. How many times do we do that? Oh, I know Jesus is rebuking me. I know, and somebody in this building right now, the Lord's already convicted you, but willing to justify yourself. Willing to justify himself. He said, well, and I'm paraphrasing again. I'm kind of adding to my little thing here. Willing, this would be how we would do it. Willing to justify himself. Well, I gave some money to the poor at Christmas time. But yet you drive right by the homeless man every day. Willing to justify himself. Well, I pay my tithes at the church. The church is supposed to do that. Is that right? That ain't what Jesus said. Well, I take my clothes down to the Goodwill. Yeah, and you get a tax break for that. That's why you do that. Willing to justify himself. Now, let's look at what happens. The sentence that Jesus gives him. Verse 34, it's amazing how God shows you things. Now listen how this reads. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, it starts off like this. Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And when Jesus answered him, Brother Ralph, he comes to Jesus, he said, yeah, you spoke right. Bible says he answered him discreetly. You was right. Having a one-on-one with Jesus and did not change. If this man would have got saved, it would have said it in the Bible. If this man would have changed, it would have said it in the Bible. Now, how many times did somebody come to Jesus and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee, go and sin no more. Jesus said, you don't know how close you are to the kingdom of God. You right there at the door. You right there at it. But he answered him discreetly. I'm talking to you. I don't want all these other people to know I'm talking to you. I don't want all these other people to know that I know you right. How many of us are right there at the door? Right there at the door. I ain't saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you're not a good person. I'm not saying that you ain't doing a lot for the world, for the Lord. But you right there at the door of the next step with God. And Jesus says, you just don't know how close you are. You just don't know how close you are. If you could just get this commandment down. I know you read my word. I know you come to church. I know you pray. I know you study. But if there's this commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. We want to know how to have revival. We want to know how to have a breakthrough. We want to know how to get to the next level with God. Here it goes. Here it goes. Let me read you this one illustration. Then I'm going to come to a close. Now listen to this and check your attitude, okay? Because it's all about attitude. Some early studies concerned with prejudice show that we're quite capable of recording our perceptions of the world around us in order to maintain our conviction is right. I'm going to read that again. Now listen. Some early studies concerning prejudice shows that we are quite capable of recording our perceptions of the world around us in order to maintain that our conviction is right. In other words, I'm willing to change what I see to make sure I think that I'm right. A group of white, middle-class New York City residents were presented with a picture of people on a subway. Two men were in the foreground. One was white, one was black. One wore a business suit, one was clothed in a workman's overalls. One was giving his money to the other, who was threatening him with a knife. Now, as a matter of fact, it was the black man that wore the suit. It was he who was being robbed by the white laborer. But such a picture did not square with the prejudices of the viewers. To them, white men were executives. Black men were supposed to be blue-collar workers. Blacks were the robbers. Whites were the victims. And so they reported what their mind told them they saw. That the black laborer was assaulting a white businessman. As human beings who desperately desire that our lives to be consistent and untroubled, we'll go to great lengths to reject a message that implies that we're wrong. Now tonight, I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying that you're not a good person. But I'm asking you tonight, do you love the Lord with all your heart? With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's the question. If you would bow your heads.